Hey, friend! Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. Hey friend, welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. Today, we're exploring what it looks like to lead with grace, compassion, and healthy boundaries. I'm so excited to welcome my friend Michelle to the show today. She is the heart behind a very special nomad community that has a special place in my heart and is one of the kindest, most steady leaders I know. Michelle, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. All right. So before we get into the good stuff, y'all know I love a good fun fact. And here's something wild about Michelle. You might not guess this from her calm presence, but she has been off-roading since the 90s and loves some extreme rock crawling in her Jeep. Tell me, what got you into Jeeps and rock crawling? Tell us all about that.
So my first four-wheel drive was a Toyota pickup truck that had 9 inches of lift and was four-wheel drive. And we used to take that off-roading, but didn't really have any major, you know, rock climbing things in our area living in Florida. And then we got a little bit older and moved to an area that had lime rock pits. And Travis went down in and made trails. And then we and our friends would go there, and we had a Jeep Cherokee at the time. But before that, we would do mudding, mostly mudding stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't really like the mudding part of it because it gets dirty on the handles,
yes.
Door handles and stuff like that. When you're trying to get in and out, I don't like that. So once we started with the rock climbing stuff, that I really, really liked, and then had to have my own vehicle because when I would ride with Travis, I would get my neck would get out of alignment and I get migraines. And if I drove, then I didn't. So then we found out that I just needed to have my own vehicle. So, So it was in the '90s that I've had more than 10 of my own off-road vehicles, like just different Jeeps and things like that. And so, we love it. And we drive all around the country and off-road all the places that we can, all different off-road parks and natural areas that we can go off-roading in.
I love that. What's your favorite one that you've done?
In Moab, Utah is our hands down favorite place to off-road. It's beautiful scenery. Plus it's, just hard obstacles to drive. And that's what we like doing is actual obstacles. We don't just like dirt roads. We like, I couldn't walk up that. I wonder if I could drive up it. I bet I could, you know.
I've never done that before. I would love to try it, but my anxiety goes from, you know, like what's the worst case scenario, right? And that doesn't always happen, but that I see pictures of people doing that when they're just like almost vertical climbs. I'm like,
yes. Yes, we do that. Yes.
That is crazy. Wow. Well, maybe we'll have to take a little trip sometime soon.
Yeah, we should. We like taking people with us. So we've got some
fun.
Of our bus friends we've taken different places with us. So we'd love that.
Yeah. Yep. That's going to happen. I know.
All right. Nice.
All right. So you lead a community that is full of different people, different needs and different personalities. And you do it with such patience and love. And you are so humble that you won't take a compliment, but I'm here to tell you this right now. So I want to dive in about how you stay grounded and kind, even when leadership is messy. So can you tell us what led you to start the Schoolie Swarm community in, you know, back in the early days? Like what gave you that nudge?
So Travis was on a bus building forum, basically online, and it was schoolies.net. And it was just a bunch of people that were in Florida on this thread talking about the different buses that they were building and that there was going to be a lot of people in Florida and that we should all get together. And so Travis would come and tell me about that. And I'd be like, yeah, okay. And dismiss it because I was working and busy with all my other life. And then you know, every week or so he'd come back and say, they're still talking that we should all get together somewhere. And yeah, we should. And then he's like, they're saying maybe like in a Lowe's parking lot or something, we could just meet up. And I was like, oh, well, it seems like we could do something better than that, right? Yep. So I said, what if we went camping for the weekend? And so he went back to them and he said, you know, what if we went camping? And so then they were all spitballing ideas of where to go. And somebody suggested Sertoma Youth Ranch in Brooksville, Florida. And so I called them, you know, but then nobody had the time to call and try to make it happen. Of course. Then I called them and they said, yeah, you could come here, but you've got to know how many people are coming, how many campsites you need. And we are all volunteers. So don't have them all calling us. You figure it out and then tell me.
Yeah.
So then that's what put us in charge of making it happen was I just said, well, email, you know, give them my email address and have them email me and tell me if they want to come to this thing. Right. So, that's how that started. And then, so at our first event, we had 22 rigs. 22 rigs represented because we had one family that was in a tent because their bus wasn't registered and insured yet, but they didn't want to miss it.
Yeah.
So we had 22, that family in the bus in the still comes to the swarm to this day. So that was 2018.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people that still come to the swarm from that first event. And it was just that we never thought we would do more than just that one thing. Like we just thought, we're all going to get together this time and it's going to be cool. And then we loved each other so much. Like it was like, well, surely we're doing this again next year. And so then we turned right around, made plans for next year. Did it the same way where they just would email me if they were coming, but then everybody was just paying the campground for their spot. So the second year we had 68 rigs. So it went from 22 to 68. And then when we started talking to that same place about the next year and like, hey, we're obviously getting bigger. We have no idea how, you know, many rigs we will have, but we still wanted to do in the same time of February. They said, well, you're going to have to rent the whole place. And we really don't have time in February for you to rent the whole place. Like we're booked. And so we started looking all around. We found another place in the Ocala National Forest and we did it up there, but we could only have 98 rigs at that location. So that's what we did. We had 98 rigs at the next one and we had to cap it. And then it was 158 the next year and then 250 the next year. And then now we're up over 300, but we cap it. We could have more, but we try and cap it to keep it the same feel.
Yeah. Wow. It is absolutely amazing how much it's grown and to see and hear from people that are like the OG first people that are in it and to see all of the new people. And so for those of you listening and she's using the word rig, that's the thing that we live in. That's our bus, an RV, a camper, a pull behind, a van, whatever the drivable is that you've got that you live in, it's a rig. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
So if you're hearing that, that's what that is. Yeah. I forget sometimes when I'm talking to people that don't know the bus world or the nomad life that we use words that they don't know.
Right. Right.
They don't know. And I'm like, yeah, we should, I should come with a dictionary.
Right.
I should come with the dictionary. Mm-hmm. So can you share a time when loving people has been hard? And I can imagine, you know, with this very quick growth and you've gone from not just one swarm event each year to multiple. So now you've got more places, more people, more logistics, you know, how does that go with loving people and dealing with so many?
To talk about a time when it's been that, you know, I had to like maybe make kind of a hard choice in order to make sure that the most people benefited, I guess. So there's been a time where like somebody in the community was making other people feel uncomfortable. And I had to make it that person couldn't come to our event. And I didn't just listen to the one person that said, hey, this person's making me feel uncomfortable. I knew that person had been at a location that lets people build their rigs there. So I reached out to the leaders of that community and said, hey, do you remember this person? Do you remember anything about them that would add to this other person's testimony that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be allowed to come be part of the community? So, so I actually checked with three different people to just kind of verify that I should say, I'm sorry, you can't come. And so that was hard. And they didn't understand why I was telling them, I'm sorry, you can't come. It didn't make me think, oh, he's not guilty of making people feel that way. It just made me think he doesn't recognize that his actions make women feel uncomfortable. So,
yeah,
you know, that was a time where it was hard. It was a hard choice. It was hard, you know, just asking for discernment, asking God for discernment to know, like, help me make the right choice on this and be still be kind and loving to that individual, because that's what we're supposed to do. And it wasn't that, and I didn't personally have an issue with him, but I'm a married woman. So that was the difference. Yeah. And we have a lot of single women that come to our events. And so I don't want I don't want somebody to come to our event and then not feel comfortable and me know about it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that is difficult as it has grown, that there are so many more personalities. And while most of us do get along well, it's, you know, sometimes, and honestly, you know, thinking about it, it not always, like you mentioned, like he didn't know that he was that way, but that is it. And, you know, speaking up around and saying, hey, I feel uncomfortable, I feel like is a good thing for people to do, because if no one ever speaks up, you'll never know. Right. And then you're continually in that discomfort. And then you go, oh, well, I don't want to go to this event because it makes me feel not the event.
Right.
It's because you didn't speak up. Right. And so that's a little lesson for us all to know or remember, is that if you feel uncomfortable, definitely speak up. Tell someone that I don't like what this is happening. And then hopefully you have a great leader like Michelle and, you know, we'll look into the situation and figure out what can we do about this to make you feel safe. Because I know that, and you do a great job at that. You do a great job at making us feel safe and comfortable and at home and like it's family. And sometimes we have Uncle Bob's that make us uncomfortable, but he doesn't get to come to Thanksgiving next year. And, you know, we love him anyway. But yes. So what has God taught you? Speaking of that, what has God taught you about leading with both compassion and boundaries?
That it's okay. It's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to set those boundaries, and you don't have to feel bad that you're setting certain boundaries to either protect yourself or protect others, that kind of for the greater good to do that.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you don't love the person. Mm-hmm. You can still love them and set a boundary. And I think that it's when we set healthy boundaries, sometimes it does feel hurtful for the other person, but that's usually when you know that it's the right one that protects you properly and, you know, gives you that. So what about boundaries in your personal time in your, because you're doing this huge event, you've got all these people that are, you know, Michelle, we need you. I need this. I have a question. Right? And you're like, I'm only one person. Right. So what does that boundary look like?
Yeah, I probably need to get better on that one. Because I have thought in the past, like as we get closer to the events, it's better now because now we have a website. And so all the registrations go through the website. But it used to be that you had to email me to register. Like for years, it was that you had to email us to register and then we had to respond. And then once the event started, we would shut registration. You know, it'd be like, sorry. Yeah. And, but there would still be people wanting to come because now they'd be seeing Facebook posts or they'd be meeting people on the road on the way there.
And FOMO.
I would, And I'd be trying to focus on, okay, now I'm putting on this event. So now and I didn't have as many volunteers then either. And so, you know, every little thing was me doing it. And so, they would Facebook message me, or they would, you know, if they knew my cell number, they would text me. If they, you know, found me on Facebook, they would message me, please let me in. I want to come. And it's like, okay, I'll let you in, because my point of view is the more the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
widen the circle.
Widen the circle. Yes. That's the deal, right? We've been yelling that since the beginning. Widen the circle. And I really truly believe that, like, anybody that wants to come and can come to the events, because I do see and I hear how, like, I feel silly saying it, but that it is a life-changing thing for people to be able to come to these events. Yeah. Their lives are changed. Their circle is widened. Their resources and their friend group is bigger, and they're able to get through this nomad life in a better way than if they were by themselves, or if they, as simple as like, hey, where are you going next? I don't even know where I'm going to go. Where are you going? Where are you going? And getting that information from people to, oh my gosh, I'm broken down. And just putting that on the Facebook group, and then people offering, you know, where are you? Or, you know, have you checked this? What's it doing? All of those things that if you were just a single person putting it on your regular Facebook, you know, my mom doesn't know how to fix my bus. So, or Aunt Jill or whatever, you know, right. So, but when you have people that are living this lifestyle and driving big rigs and doing this stuff, they will have more of the answers for you. And if you're plugged in, then you have this resource, there's a current post on the Swarm now where somebody from the fall event is going to be traveling down to South Carolina is like, hey, who's in my path? Who should I stop and see? Yes. You know, that's always fun too, because we've stopped and seen two different bus people on our way from Minnesota to South Carolina, and we're only in Ohio. So, you know, we're slow rolling. Well, three different bus people. So you could fill up a whole trip going from friend to friend to friend.
Exactly.
When you know a lot of people, and that's how you know a lot of people is come to a big event like that.
Yeah. So it's hard to say no when those people are reaching out, because that could be their life changing. Yes,
exactly. So I want them all to be able to come. So that was what it was, is it was really hard to say, sorry, I'm not answering my Facebook messages during the event because I can't, you know, so it would end up being like the evenings I'm trying to lay down to go to sleep, and I'd finally answer them and just be like, here's the address, just come and we'll get you settled in when you get here. You know, I guess the boundary for that was kind of set when we got the website made and registration is all through there, and we can just leave it up the entire event, and it automatically gives them the information they need. They don't need me to respond to them because they automatically get the address and everything. So that was a tough one though for a few years, was me just being overwhelmed with wanting everybody to be able to come and not having the time or energy to get them the information they needed right away. Because there'd be people that were in the area, even they're like, I heard it was in Melrose, where is it?
yes we need the deets. I will say, and we were just talking about this, where we are staying right now as we record this is with two of our schoolie friends that we met at our very first Swarm that actually I don't think you even do anymore, but it was the winter one. It was before Doe Lake.
Yeah. Yes. So we did that one last year, and everybody has been asking for me to do it again.
Yeah.
I have to reserve it a whole year in advance. And so I'm checking the calendar I have it on my calendar to check as we get closer, because you can't reserve it earlier than a year in advance.
Wow.
And it gets taken up quickly. So it's on my radar for next year.
Cause
so,
it was such a great small introductory event for us. And at that time we didn't look like a schoolie bus. We had a big black motor coach, and we knew that we didn't fit into the motor coach life. We didn't fit into the RV park life, but we couldn't figure out where it was. And we had a friend that said, hey, we're part of this community. They've got one coming up. We won't be there, but you should go. And we're like, will they accept us? Will they like us? Will we be judged for our rig? Because it's not like we were so, I was honestly so nervous. And when we got there, we were met with it was like six people that welcomed us, cheering us yeah. on, and well, come out here, let's hug, let's meet you, let's take a picture of you, and here's it. And it was like instant family, and yes. nowhere ever in our travels had we experienced that. And wow. then just, you know, we'd see people sitting outside, and then we'd just say hi to them, like you do in nomad life, yeah. just regularly, whether you have a schoolie or an RV. And yeah. that's where we met these people. And so now, a year and a half later, we're randomly in Arizona, and they are too. So why we're staying in the desert together. Yeah, but had we not said yes to that, had we not mm-hmm. had that amazing reaction to us and to, I mean, we have people all the time ask, when are you coming back? And yeah. I didn't even know that we made that impression for other people. Like right. I know, yeah. I know who we are, but we have gotten not such great feedback when we go to motor coach resorts, which, you know, we had a motor coach and we still do have one, but now it's painted and it looks like a bus and it's oh. full with solar. So it's a completely different look now.
Oh, nice.
But you know, people, we have children and we play outside and we make noise and we have like, we live outside and we sleep in the bus, right?
Right.
And yeah. it's just not well accepted in a lot of communities. And so when we, I feel like we finally met our people and yeah. now we just like keep growing on that and growing and growing, and it just stretches so far. And I really don't think that you even know the outreach that you have started in just saying that simple yes to not meeting in a Lowe's parking lot and right. and creating this community, but then continuing to create it and cultivate such an amazing bond and tradition at this point, right? Because every yeah, year you're yeah. like, let's go. So
right.
how did you come up with the name Schoolie Swarm? Because this is great.
Yeah. So Travis and I sitting in bed trying to figure out like, what are we going to call this thing? And we're like, so Schoolie Palooza in Quartzsite had already happened once. Yeah. And so we're like, well, that's a name. Maybe it could be like Schoolie Palooza, Florida. We don't know. Yeah. And then we're like, no, no, can't wait. We can't do that. That's already somebody else came up with yeah. that name. And we need to figure out something else. So we just started like looking in the thesaurus, honestly, for what's other words for gatherings, other words for groups of people, other words for, you know, whatever. And yeah. and so a swarm, you know, Schoolie was already part of it because sure. we're Schoolies.
Yeah.
But then there was Swarm came up and we're like, oh my gosh, that's so perfect because yes. buses are yellow and black when they yes. start, you know. And we're like, and we're all coming together. And then at first it was like Schoolie Swarm. I don't know. It just sounded a little funny on the tongue. And then the more we said it and thought about it, we're like, that's it. And then I was laughing because I was like, and if you slur it together, it could be Schoolies Warm because we're all coming to Florida to be warm.
So yes.
So yeah. So yeah. I'm sitting in bed with a thesaurus trying to figure yes. out what to call this thing.
And everyone gets a sticker when you come, spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. And yep. it's a hexagon, like a piece of a honeycomb because right. coming together, which is just beautiful. So the more events yep. that you come to, the more you mm-hmm. build your honeycomb. And that, I mean, that right there is just a picture yeah. of, I just, yeah. it's amazing.
I can't take so credit cool. for that design. That was my friend Alana came up with that actual design. So
yeah.
Full credit to her for that.
Yes. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is just it's so beautiful. Cool.
Yeah, it puts mm-hmm. everything together and it's the best. That's beautiful. What would you say to someone that is leading in a community that has a lot of these personalities? What would you say to them to help them to continue to lead with grace and compassion?
Here's a side note. So people ask me, how do I know everybody's names at the events,
yeah.
right? And so I didn't, in my past life, I did not have the ability to like remember everybody's names, but I truly just, I thought of it, you know, a couple months ago, and it's love. It's just mm-hmm. love. So God knows everybody's names, right? And he knows the hairs on your head. I just think that there's especially times that God is just flowing through. And so leading up to every event, like I just really feel it. I can be stressed trying to get last minute things together, but the excitement and the just love just like welling up inside of me at the excitement of coming to see all of my friends again, and even friends I haven't met yet. And just it's just love. There's just this big old blanket of love. And so you got to have love, you know, so you got to have God, you got to have Jesus on your side, you know, even through the hard times. There's going to be parts of the planning that are tough and the parts of the planning that, you know, maybe slip through, and then your last minute, oh my gosh, I gotta do these things, you know, if there's love, then it's all going to be fine. And, you know, God's already gotten everything taken care of, whether you know exactly what it is or not. Yeah. And so I would just say, you know, you've got to lean into him, and you've just got to know that he's got your back. Yeah. And, you know, that's why when you put on the full armor of God, there's not anything back there, but it's okay, because that's where Jesus is.
That's right. That was beautiful. How do you mentally, spiritually, emotionally prepare in between swarms for this huge influx of people and all, you know, everything that goes into that planning?
We try, like when we're traveling or when we're having, you know, work days where I'm working on swarm all day long and I feel like I'm not getting off the couch because all I'm doing is sitting on the computer all day. We try to mix up that with, you know, what things are there around us wherever we are that we can just get out of the bus and go see, you know, either something from nature with, you know, something that God's created, or some piece of history, or some quirky thing. Like we really like using the Atlas Obscura app to just find weird things all over. And so if you haven't checked out Atlas Obscura, it's pretty cool. And even that's like all over the world, that app works. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. We'll just, if we're driving during the day and we're like, you know, we try and see something every day when we're driving. I love seeing new things. So that fills my cup, is to see new things and just have a different view out my window almost every day. Yeah. And seeing, you know, how good God is. I mean, we're able to experience the colors of fall in three different states so far, or four different states. And then even more really, because we were in New York and then went to Minnesota. So all the states in between, we got to see it. And so here we are in Ohio, where the colors are just getting towards the end and the leaves are starting to drop. And we had snow the other day. Wow. It was kind of neat to have snow and fall colors. That was kind of pretty. So just seeing how good God is and what a great artist he is everywhere we go.
Yes. Yeah. It is so refreshing to be in nature, and, you know, God made it all, and we're not meant to just be inside all the time. And, you know, I hear all the time, oh, I wish I could do that. But honestly, the truth of the matter is you have to choose to do it.
Right.
And you can choose to stay inside all day and say, I wish I could do that, and look out at other people doing it, or you can do it and then experience the freedom and the goodness and the great, like all of that amazingness that is in nature that we get to see and do all the time, because we make it a part of our life. And it doesn't have to be, you know, traveling full time. It could just be going outside to walk in your neighborhood, walk in the grass, go to a park. Like it doesn't have to be huge. But I will say that one of the things that blows my mind about travel is that we'll talk to people who have lived in the same area for their whole life. And I'm like, oh, wow, what is there to do there? And they'll do here. And they go, oh, there's a restaurant, or, oh, we really like this theater, or, What about hiking trails? What about, I didn't even know that was there. I'm like, you live here. It blows my mind, but it's not, that's not, what's the word? Not an anomaly.
Yeah. It's not uncommon. Like anywhere.
It's not.
Anybody that sits still, it seems like they don't tourist their area. I mean, not anybody, but the majority, I would say.
A lot.
Don't know what there is to do necessarily in their area.
Yeah. So we get to teach them what there is to do in their own their yeah. own city, which, yeah. but, and it just goes back to choice. You can choose, mm-hmm. you can choose to, like we're talking about, do the nomad life by yourself, or you can yeah. choose to join a community and widen your circle of right. connections and family and love and information. And right. that is just awesome. You can also yeah. choose to sit inside or go out in nature. You can choose to allow the Lord to work in your heart or not. You can choose to lead with grace and compassion or the opposite. I don't even want to think about what that is like, right? Yes. With a hard hammer, you will right. be commune.
Yeah. Right. Get out of your ring.
Right? Come knocking on doors. Get out of here and have fun.
Yeah, right. I don't want to. I'm a little afraid.
I could just imagine. That would be so funny. Well, you do come out with a megaphone, and that gets people yes. out, but it's not scary. Yes. It's fun. And
right.
there was right. one guy, I can't even remember who it was, and he was such a jokester, and he made it so fun. And I'm like, just because of him, I don't even know what he was saying, but I want to come out because he was fun.
right. Yep.
Yeah. Right. I love like,
that. What's that guy saying?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I yeah. usually can't even tell, but I know that it's going to be great. So I come right. out. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Even very when good. I don't feel like it. And that's another choice, is I can choose right. to stay inside because I don't want to go out, or choose to go and just see what it is. Even if it's for, mm-hmm. 5 minutes. And usually that mm-hmm. means the whole time and then some.
Right. Yeah. yeah. At yeah. our fall event, we had a guy, and I said, oh, are you coming to do this thing? And he said, I feel like it will make me uncomfortable. So yes. And I was like,
I love that.
Okay. All right.
I love that. All right. I often say yeah. that change doesn't happen in the comfortable. It happens in the uncomfortable. And
it's true.
Sometimes we just have to do that, and it's yeah. going to be okay. It's going right. to be okay. Yeah.
That's right.
This has been amazing, and obviously I could talk to you all day long. So as we wrap up today, I'm going to ask you a question that I ask every guest on here, and that is, what is one perspective that you would encourage listeners to apply today?
I would say, ask God to let you see people through His eyes, because when you see people through God's eyes, it takes away that lens that you already have that's jaded from life. And you're able to just really see people through the eyes of love and compassion. And so I would say that's the perspective that I would want people to do, is just
yeah.
ask to see through God's eyes, because it really does make a difference, and it softens your heart to whatever they're going through. Yeah. And you're able to see their hurt. You might not know what their hurt is, but you're able to see that there is hurt
yeah.
or joy or whatever is going on with them. You're able to see it a little clearer because you're looking through God's eyes.
Yeah. Oh, this has been so wonderful, Michelle. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your precious heart with us. And friend, if this episode spoke to you, please be sure to follow the podcast. Go to perspectivesintopractice.com. You can listen to all of them there. And share with a friend who needs some encouragement today. If you have a perspective that would encourage someone in their walk with God, I would love to hear from you. This podcast is a place for real women to share how they see God work in their everyday life. So if you want to be a guest, reach out to me. I would love to have you on here. And remember, even small shifts in perspective can lead to big changes. Now go put those perspectives into practice. Talk to you next time.